all startups are created equal. Some, like Deliver Health, emerged with the process of spin-offs and acquisitions. Deliver Health just celebrated its one-year anniversary, and the software and service company already has more than 2,000 clients and 2,000 employees across the globe. I'm your host, Carol Flagg, and on this episode, I talk with Dan Lavelle, the head of marketing at Deliver Health, who discusses the company's journey and the impact of his marketing mantra over the past year, author Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Well, Dan, welcome to What's My Tagline?
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today, Carol.
Yeah, we had an opportunity to actually meet and chat briefly at Vive, and I thought, well, you've got a great story to share. I thought you'd make a great guest for my show.
I promise I won't let you down.
No worries there. But before we start and talk about some of the things going on in the industry and what's going on with Deliver Health, I think I gave you a little bit of a warning that my first question of all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be?
So I actually might have cheated a little bit in answering this question. So one, being familiar with the podcast, I took an opportunity. It's tough for me to talk about myself. I actually asked my team how they would respond to this question on my behalf. And I thought some of the answers were somewhat comical and somewhat true. So I want to read a few of them, and then I'll get to what I think mine is. But some of them that my team gave, and by the way, our team at Deliver Health, our marketing team, our communications team, is incredible. It's been the reason that I've found so much joy and we've been so successful at Deliver Health. But nonetheless, they won't lose an opportunity. So I got everything from, if all else fails, call Dan Lavelle. I got the Ricky Bobby quote, if you ain't first, you're last, because everyone knows I'm super competitive, almost to a fault.
That's my husband's favorite movie. That's crazy.
I got, maybe he's born with it, maybe it's caffeine, because as I told you before we started recording, I have two small children and they keep me up at night. I also got Leave the Road, Take the Trails. Which is probably a nod to, I love trail running and getting outdoors, and it's where I find my joy and fulfillment, but it's also very indicative of our pathway at Deliver Health is not always going down the straight and narrow, but actually sort of forging our own path. So I just thought I'd read some of those. That's because they made funny. Me laugh. But even beyond the professional, as anyone that works with me or knows me knows, I'm a student of Stoicism and I love Stoicism. And when I was 18 or 19 years old, I read Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. And there was one quote in one passage in there that, and I'll butcher the quote, but it's effectively, our actions may be impeded, but there's no impeding our intentions. And when you get obstacles, the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. And I don't think I've ever read words that changed my life like I did that. Effectively saying, no matter the situation, no matter how bad or how hopeless or how confusing or how complex, there's always an opportunity to do one thing, act. Right. And no matter how small that action or how altruistic, the one thing you can always control is how you act in the moment to move something forward. So in that light, I'll say final answer, my tagline would always be, plan for something great and then execute. And I feel like I've taken that tagline of planning for something great, but then keeping an eye on execution pretty much every day in either my personal life or my professional life. It's really been my guiding principle for more than a decade now.
Yeah. I to be honest with you, I don't talk to many guests or know a lot of people actually who at 19 years old, reads a quote and that actually becomes sort of this, in a way, kind of a guiding light, right, of how they view life.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit when I talk about my trajectory in healthcare, but it was actually in that moment when I was 19 years old when my mother was diagnosed with brain cancer and I was getting ready to go to college. And at that point, you really, I mean, as a young man going away to college, not knowing what I'm going to study or who I want to be when I grow up, it just ended up picking up books and just trying to find something to ground me. And it was that book that quite literally changed my life. And I don't think I'd be in healthcare with a passion for what I do every day you know, it's not for anything else other than, you know, wanting to execute and wanting to act. So it's really been a changing force personally and professionally for me.
Yeah. And obviously a catalyst. So I think start there from that moment being a catalyst in your life and your journey into healthcare. So fill us in, give us a sort of a brief history of where you started and in healthcare and where you are today.
Sure. Yeah, happy to. It's so as I mentioned, you know, when I went to college like most young people, not knowing who I was or what I wanted to do when I grew up, but I knew that I always loved communicating. And I've always been a people person and I've always thrived off of energy from other people. And I didn't know if that meant business or academia or social sciences, and ended up going to school, went to Drexel University, and my mother passed away my senior year in college. And I literally walked into the American Cancer Society in Philadelphia and said, I don't care what you do, I just want a job. Mm-hmm. And lucky enough, they found a job for me, and I was able to work my way up through the American Cancer Society in a period of 4 or 5 years, became a national fundraising program manager and event manager at the American Cancer Society, and loved the mission, you know, just loved understanding how large businesses work, and then got recruited to go to a great system here in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, Lehigh Valley Health Network. And ended up leading the marketing team at Lehigh Valley Health Network for a number of years. So I really got to understand service line marketing and brand development and digital transformation inside a health system. And, you know, the politics and the business planning and just the need for true innovation from the inside out. And absolutely loved every moment of that, and was one day sitting in my office thinking, man, I would love to do this in a larger scale for more organizations in a more consultative capacity, and ended up getting the opportunity to go to Evariant, who was a customer relationship and physician relationship management technology vendor, and be a part of their marketing and consulting team. So I made the jump from hospital side to vendor and consulting side. You know, spent a bunch of years there. That company was eventually acquired by HealthGrades a little over a year and a half ago.
Sure.
Yep. So got to do some great work at Evariant and HealthGrades, and truly test my professional skills, my academic marketing skills, and really get into the consulting and marketing strategy side. And about a year and a half ago, got a call from Michael Clark, who is our CEO here at Deliver Health, and explained that they were spinning out Nuance's EHR and HIM divisions to create Deliver Health. And they really needed someone to go from square zero to build the marketing, go-to-market strategy, and communications function here at Deliver Health. And now 9 months later, here I am, having a great time and really enjoying the ride of building the brand and a startup company from square zero.
Yeah. And in fact, you just celebrated the company's first birthday.
We did. I think it was 2 weeks ago. We've been a company now. We've been a brand for exactly 1 year. It's been an incredible ride, because when we spun out from Nuance Communications, we very quickly acquired additional companies. So Mist, who was an ambulatory consulting organization, and Duet Health, which really propelled us into the digital health space. So we have this sort of balancing act of, yes, we're a new brand. No one knows who we are in Deliver Health. We're still building out the core functions of a website and our social media strategy and our internal communications processes. But we're trying to do that while supporting and growing and nurturing relationships with 2,000 clients. So we're somewhat of a unicorn startup, and that we've got this great customer base while we're sort of, you know, building the plane that we're flying down the road. And it's been challenging, but in the most rewarding way possible, to be able to jump in from the very beginning and help really guide the future of the company.
Yeah. And to do a startup, obviously, you know, I get that there was a spinoff here. Nuance, of course, was a known brand, but to do a startup, obviously a risky endeavor, number A, but B, I think to do a startup as but you know, with the viewpoint of like the last 2 years dealing with the pandemic, right? I mean, it's a daunting thing. I mean, I think a lot of startups sort of came up out of the pandemic, you know, with this, now rush is probably the wrong word, but certainly this hyper focus in on, vaccine delivery, telehealth, obviously, right? You know, so, you know, it generated a lot of activity. But you are a unicorn in the sense that you're a startup, but, you know, with more than 2,000 clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek. And if anyone's ever watched his TED Talks, and it all goes back to why, right? Like, why did we create Deliver Health in the midst of a global pandemic?
I guess that's my question, right?
Right? Like, why did we do all this, right? And when you, I believe, and I have seen it from the inside and the outside, that healthcare was always going to go through a pivot, right? And 5 or 6 years ago, it was always big bad Amazon and big bad CVS are always going to come and they're going to eat all of our lunches, right? And it's just, and it's going to be a pivot. I firmly believe that the consumerization in healthcare and the efficiencies of healthcare systems and the need to both support a mission, but also be able to operate a business. COVID didn't create that. COVID just accelerated that by a very fair margin, where we were all home ordering things on Amazon with one click, right? So that just encouraged the consumer behavior. And our margins got so shrunk that all it did was exacerbate our inefficient systems. So it really was a forcing function in innovation. And that was the reason I picked up the phone when Michael called, is I had a very big internal belief that if there was ever a moment to come back to simplifying the complexities of healthcare, getting back to the basics of healthcare, which is quite literally our vision written down for Deliver Health, to simplify the complexities of healthcare, it was going to be now. It wasn't going to be in 7 years. It wasn't going to be 2 years ago. It was going to be immediately coming out of COVID, when everyone picks their head up and says, there's got to be a simpler way. Maybe the way forward isn't more technology. Maybe it's using the technology that we've already got and then filling in the gaps. It has been really crucial to everything we've done over the last year. And it is quite literally why we started the company, is because if there was going to be practical innovation in healthcare, it was going to be literally right now as you and I are speaking.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in the healthcare space, obviously, long enough, as have I. You know, we hear it a lot, right? Healthcare is complicated. Healthcare, you know, moves slowly. Innovation, you know, takes time. And then, of course, then you add in, I suppose, these, you know, legislative, you know, some of the mandates and initiatives and requirements. And, you know, the stakeholders are numerous, right? And they're big. But that word pivot, you know, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying this is a pivotal moment in healthcare, and that perhaps what we should be really focused in on getting back to the patient, right? That the consumer in this is really what's going to, I guess, change healthcare.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's the, if you go back to the ultimate point of connection in healthcare, there is a clinician and a patient, and we want that clinician to arrive ready to deliver care. And there's a lot that goes into that, right? There's documentation and training and chart prep and, you know, how do I do my labs? How am I going to see the patient? There's just so much complexity that goes into there. But so much of that is now controllable. And then you look at the patient on the other end of that, and making sure that the patient arrives ready, educated, calm to receive care. And more that journey is incredibly complex. And there is choice. And how can we go to that ultimate point of connection and then work backwards to say, how can clinicians better work with technology, and what can we take off a clinician's plate so that they arrive ready to deliver care? And how can we communicate through digital means and pre-education to make sure that the patient arrives ready to receive care? By the way, wherever that care happens, it can be flexible. It doesn't always have to be in an office. It can be on a couch. And that's just another element of complexity. But we firmly believe that we can clear the way for those connections that matter most. And it's not always by inserting more technology. A lot of times it's just software and services working together and understanding the big problems and trying to find ways to clear out those complexities to solve some of the big problems. And then you solve the next problem and the next problem and the next problem. Michael, our CEO, to a certain extent calls it practical innovation. You're not exactly having this grandiose vision of changing the world. You're just solving problems one step at a time.
Well, yeah. And what you're talking about too, I mean, obviously, we live in a digital world. We are actually, you think about how we're all like connected in an instant, right? That's how life operates right now, whether it's, through technology and through communication and through those connections you talk about. But at the same time, I'm hearing you talk and I think, this is a cliche, but all that runs across my brain is, as a technology company, you've built a better mousetrap.
Yeah, I think there's an element of, to use your words, building a better mousetrap.
I mean, you've heard that saying.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, right? I go back to like when we're sitting around internally plotting based on our vision and based on our mission, what is our go-to-market strategy, right? Like how do we start to combine software and services together that go and solve the problems? Like what are those problems that we're trying to solve for customers? And it comes back to, I forget the stat because it changes all the time, but it's really upsetting. It's like more than half of physicians, not just physicians, clinicians, half of clinicians experience some level of burnout in their career. And okay, why? Why does that happen? So you start to pull on that thread and the thread gets longer and longer and longer the more that you pull on it. But it comes back to clinicians, we're asking them to spend more time staring at screens than they are caring for patients. That's a solvable problem. And then you go to the next problem and you say, okay, so now we're seeing all these patients and we're driving all these encounters, but we're not getting paid. Like there's $16 billion worth of inefficient, incorrect or incomplete codes that exist in our healthcare systems every day. By the way, that number hasn't gotten any better in the last 10 years. So literally our system's ability to get paid for the work that we're doing constricts us. So you start to pull at that and realize we don't have enough coders. Our level of using automation and machine learning to improve inefficient codes, literally changing a one to a zero, that's a solvable problem, right? Like, and then you go to the next, how do patients, more than half of patients now will leave one provider and go to another purely for a more convenient digital first experience. And more, they're not going from your hospital to the hospital down the street. The other option is they're just not going to go to the hospital unless their leg's hanging off or they have a very acute injury. They're going to start to find more convenient mechanisms to go receive primary care, like CVS. Again, that's a solvable problem because we've all got a phone within, a foot of us right now as we're listening to this. So when we talked about solving all of those problems, it became pretty clear that one, we didn't have all the answers and that we needed to have a true partnership ecosystem. We will develop our own software, we have, but then we also want to build the ability to work with a client. This is, if you're already working with a software on digital health, we want to take that and then we want to put it into our Deliver Health platform so you can keep that and then create a better ecosystem. We literally put all that together and launched the Deliver Health platform, which is a cloud-based software suite and really just focusing on the why problems that I mentioned, documentation, coding, and digital health, whether it's our solution or our solution plus third-party solutions all written together in a single mobile application or in a single workflow, that's our goal. So going back to your statement before, it's creating a better mousetrap for clients where they are not so contingent on having 45 disparate point solutions that no one knows how to manage. It's literally just mapping and choreographing all of these things together that go solve very practical problems all day long.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, when I, you know, in my head, you know, building a better mousetrap means not hurting the mouse, because I don't really know.
Just
to make that clear, right? Interesting that you bring, not interesting, you know, I know that clinician burnout, you know, is a big part of what DeliverHealth does and your product, the idea that, you know, you can reduce the documentation burnout, burdens on clinicians. You know, clinician burnout, you know, we've been hearing that term really since, I mean, at least, you know, if early infancies of the HITECH Act, certainly by the time hospitals and physicians, you know, purchased their certified EHR technology, and then, you know, we call them EHRs, they call them, a lot of them call them EMRs or, you know, whatever. So that clinician burnout, that notion has been around for, you know, a number of years, right? You said 10, but yeah, I mean, a number of years. And this idea that, you know, technology has created this undue burden on clinicians who are there to just, you know, help their patients. So that gets to the root, I think, too, of these clinicians who are using technology. Some of it, I've talked to a lot of people about this over the years. Some of it might be generational, it may not, right? Some of it is sort of perhaps baked into whatever the particular systems or workflows that the hospital or provider is using. But all of it has certainly been exacerbated by COVID, right? I mean,
right.
You know, clinicians, you know, you take off this burnout, and then you, like you said, when you put us in a global pandemic, and I tell you what, nothing got easier.
If anything, it got harder.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I heard, I am still close friends with many of the clinicians that I used to work with very regularly. And one of them was telling me a few months ago that during COVID, they would see all their patients. This was a specialty physician. They would see all their patients, but then they would also do overflow hours in the ER just because of volume. And then when there was the COVID waned and the healthcare system to try to build up margin started trying to really push volume of telehealth and telehealth visits. So then they were leaving their ER rounds and they were expected to do 3 to 4 hours of telehealth visits every day. And that becomes a 2 + 2 + 2 = there's not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you combine a fast-paced environment, which just got faster from COVID, electronic health records, which have always needed to be nurtured and personalized and updated to keep pace with how clinicians use them, have fallen behind. The time pressures, the organizational politics, the margin pressures, none of this is surprising to me, right? What's surprising to me is that our industry as a whole hasn't really taken the practical steps to try to solve it, right? Whether it's through better documentation, or we even do a lot of analytical and personalization work of EHRs just to understand where the common workflow issues are from either a practice-based perspective or an organizational perspective. Sometimes just knowledge is power. And you have to be able to have that conversation. And that says nothing of, you know, what are some things that clinicians don't have to do? What can we automate? What can we push to a customer service manager or a contact center? You know, what's the administrivia that we can just plain get off people's plates?
Right. I mentioned earlier that we actually met at VIVE, which was in March, and that VIVE conference, of course, was followed a week later by the HIMSS conference. So VIVE was this was an inaugural event, but you obviously had a a big and lovely booth, I might say, at Vibe. And I believe you exhibited or you had a presence at HIMSS as a company that's one year old. We're coming out of this COVID event darkness, I guess, and both large scale healthcare technology conferences. What was your experience at Vibe and HIMSS this year as DeliverHealth, again, 1 year old? You know, I love the unicorn startup because, you know, when I saw your booth and I see your website and you know, you talk about things you're talking about, it doesn't come across as like, oh, we're really only 1 year old.
Yeah, my number one, thank you for the compliment on the booth. I take no credit for it at all and give all the credit to our fantastic marketing team. And we worked with a great vendor to be able to put that together. My jaw was on the floor the first time I saw it. But I would just say, even before I respond to your question, because I thought Vibe and HIMSS were incredible, it's one of the things I am finding about being in this moment, building the brand, building our go-to-market strategy, building stronger relationships with customers, getting voice of the customer. It's a little bit like climbing a mountain, where if all day long you just put one foot in front of the other, when you're climbing a big mountain, you'll look up at the summit and go, oh my God, it's so far away, we're never going to get there, right? And that's truly, I think, where you are in a startup healthcare technology, especially in the marketing communication side. But if every once in a while you just look back down the mountain, you will see the fruits of your labor and you will see how far you've gone. To me, as the leader of the marketing and communications team here at DeliverHealth, personally, that's what Vibe and HIMSS was for me.
Oh.
Being able to see our team tell a really cohesive DeliverHealth story of being a software and services company with more than 2,000 clients and 2,000 employees across the globe, focused on documentation, coding, and digital health solutions and EHR realization. That was such a proud look back down the mountain moment for me personally, and I just found that incredibly fulfilling. From the global perspective, from the external perspective, my gosh, it was great to see everyone again. I saw you for the first time.
I know, right?
it was great to see hospital clients that I haven't seen in so long.
Yeah.
And just be able to, you know, have a glass of wine or have a cup of coffee or walk around the expo, find out how people's kids were doing. Hey, did you ever run that marathon? Just, you know, the relationship elements at Vibe and HIMSS were incredible. Yeah. It was also great to see, not dissimilar from DeliverHealth, it was great to see, I think for the first time, especially at Vibe for me, these really great startups that are driving a lot of practical application of problems, right? And problem solving, mixed with some of the larger brands that you're always going to see at some of these big conferences.
Right.
And I thought for the first time, you saw some of the commingling and the discussion and the strategy development between partners. That was really fascinating to me, that we had so many great partnership dialogue conversations. It was almost as if for the first time, everyone realized that we're better together than we are in silos, selling things and point solutions.
Right, right.
And I thought that was really incredible. And then there's, again, always just, you know, the relationship building, the business development pieces. I thought that was great. But to me, really the shining stars were, one, a great congratulatory moment for my team to see everything come about, and really the ability to see partners and hospitals and health systems all sort of coming around one table, putting a problem in the middle of the table and saying, okay, we're all going to go work together to solve nursing shortage and documentation, or digital health ecosystems, or coding and revenue integrity problems. That was really encouraging to see. And I hope is a great sort of baseline coming out of COVID for all of our conferences moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I've been going to HIMSS for many years, and I've attended Health, and of course Health is the conference that partnered with Chime to create Vibe. And I like to, you know, in a way, I differentiate between the two conferences in the sense that I feel Vibe is a networking event. I mean, it's a trade show and education, but to me, it's about networking and having conversations and very C-level driven. And HIMSS is a trade show and educational event. You know, I'm going to send some of my frontline staff. They're going to get their certification credits. They're going to learn something. And then we have a trade show component, you know, and I think there's room for both. But I agree with you. I really like the emphasis that Vibe, which health does too. That's an extension of the health event, puts mm-hmm. on the startups. You're not just in a little room off to yourself, right? I mean, they put a lot of emphasis on startups. They obviously promote startup health. And I agree with you. I thought some of the conversations that I heard and just on the peripherally involved in were fantastic.
Yeah. And I do think you're right. I absolutely think there is room enough for both conferences. And I did see, similar to you, that the audience was a little bit different. I saw a little bit more of a C-suite CIO based audience at Vive. I saw more of the VP IT, mm-hmm. Director HIM at HIMSS. But the one thing in common is that they're all there, not exactly window shopping anymore. What one of my other perceptions is that they're really there to go solve problems. Everyone's very much in execution mode here. I think everyone's got a fire lit under them coming out of COVID.
Right.
And I think for us as a brand, we'll absolutely continue to invest in both, because that's where our clients are. That's where our partners are. And coming out of it, we're in so much of a better place in our go-to-market strategy because of the relationships and the discussions that we've had at both.
Yeah. It all gets back to one of your favorite words. It's all about connections, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's healthcare won't solve itself. You know, it requires people coming to the table with smart ideas, and then, you know, we rely on our hospital and health system leaders to really shepherd us through how to put it all together.
Yeah. So we've got a few minutes left here, and Dan, and let's wrap up our conversation talking about what's next for you and for Deliver Health.
A lot.
Yeah. You enter year two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. No, all joking aside, there's some really exciting elements coming up to Deliver Health. You know, one, from the overall company side, we are building and are about to open our new customer experience center in Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, fantastic.
Around the first week in June. So we have been silently but aggressively building this 10,000 square foot innovation lab, customer experience center, quite literally creating a haven where we can bring our customers to learn about our solutions, or even just a network with each other, and we'll step out of the way.
Yeah.
And we thought there was a really a big need for that coming out of COVID, especially being able to get back together physically and, you know, even drive virtual collaboration. So we're really excited to launch the Deliver Health Customer Experience Center first few weeks in June.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll have to have you down, Carol.
I just like the name of that. So it's like, oh my, I kind of think of like, you know, I'm a little bit of a science geek, and I think of like walking into, you know, a museum with all the science exhibits. It's like, ooh, you know, but like, you know, the ones that are touchy feely, right?
Yeah, but you know, to that point, it's so much of the Deliver Health platform, whether it's documentation or coding software or digital health software, it's not just something that you can hop on a demo and see it and go, yes, I want that, because the workflows are so unique to every right. customer, and it requires software and services coming together in most parts. And sometimes that's easier just to get in a room and whiteboard out. And even bringing our customer groups down and basically laying out a product roadmap and getting voice of customer around, again, practical innovation will be important. So we're really excited about Customer Experience Center first few weeks in June, pending any sort of IT supply chain issues. We're also really excited to continue investing in the Deliver Health platform itself. So we're working on a lot of capabilities within the platform. We just acquired a company called Presidio Health, who really brings an advanced level of coding and revenue integrity engine and audits to our platform. So that acquisition was just finalized about 3 weeks ago. Wow. So we're really excited to bring them into the fold. We're also launching great new capabilities within the platform related to language access, because we heard from customers that one of the largest barriers to documentation, coding, and digital health is language barriers. So we asked, why can't we build a translation service within the same mobile application that you are using for transcription and scribing and coding? And we were able to build that translation that allows a clinician to, in real time, pull up a mobile application and translate into 250 plus languages in a moment's notice. So, you know, that's just another example of product-based expansion over the next year that we're excited to roll out and get in our customers' hands and then get feedback.
Dan, it's been a great conversation with you.
I have enjoyed it as well. And I look forward to seeing you down in Clearwater first few weeks in June at the Customer Experience Center.
I can't wait.
Well, thanks, Carol. I appreciate the time and I love your podcast. I listen to it regularly. I think my Amazon Alexa knows the command by this point as well.
Thank you very much.
You can learn more about Dan Lavelle by connecting with him on LinkedIn or at deliverhealth.com. And you can learn more about this show on the program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Carol Flagg or on LinkedIn. Have a topic or a guest idea for the show? Send me an email to carol@healthcarenowradio.com. Until next time, I want to know, what's your tagline?